Ken McCusick joins us in studio from filmstudybaltimore.com. Good morning to you, Ken.
How's it going, Rob?
Doing well. Head scratcher, though. The team signs Yannick Ngakoue to a contract. Where does he fit in on what they're doing right now?
So, low cost, week to week risk for the Ravens. So, whatever play he does for them, he'll get paid for that. And basically, if they cut him in a few weeks, he'll not earn the rest of the salary for the season because it's after week two. So, you got that. He's a guy who still probably has a little pass rush juice. He's even younger than the typical veteran pass rusher they sign. He's 29 still, which I thought that was remarkable. I would have guessed 31, 32 now. But anyway, he may still have a little bit something left in the tank. But if you're wondering who it impacts, I think they're probably not really happy with David Ajabo at this point, which shouldn't surprise anybody. Okay.
And that's my real question. So who does he replace or potentially replace?
That's a great point. So they seven people on the roster now playing outside linebacker, if you include Ngakoue. So it means that two frequently will probably be inactive on the same day. And that it may be Isaac with an injury. It may be Ajabo for a healthy scratch. And it might even be Tavius Robinson.
I was going to ask before we get into the specific offense and defense, the game as a whole against the Cowboys. They have the game put away. The broadcast crew is trying to make it interesting for people because it's like, it's the time to pee on the fire and call on the dogs. Like, that's it. We're done here. What did you think of the game, given the three touchdowns in like 6 minutes at the end?
Yeah, that was obviously that's not a positive thing, but I'm very much a glasses half full guy coming out of this game. They played 52 minutes of great football. They played 8 minutes of lousy football in the middle of it, and it was all triggered by two special teams events. So they gave up the short field after the Tucker missed field goal. They gave up a touchdown. Then they gave up an onside kick on the Flowers. Failure to collect that ball was really bad.
Yeah.
And that put the defense on the field again, which led to a period of 27 plays where the defense was on the field for 24 of them. That is very typical of collapse, and the Ravens went into this game with four defensive linemen, which is you really don't want to put yourself in a place where you play a lot of consecutive snaps out of that, because the defensive line, the rotational positions are more impacted by that. So other than that, though, hyper-efficient game offensively, good tendency-breaking things that Orr did on defense that I liked. And generally speaking, I really like the new defensive direction out of this game, the dime defense.
Like the Flowers. They're telling you it's an onside kick, which they didn't do in the pen. You know it's coming, and you're a receiver. How do you not gather that ball?
Did you hear the other rule that they were only allowed two onside kicks per game? There's a cap now of two onside kicks per game. Yeah, so they didn't have the ability to make a third onside kick after the second one.
I did not know
that.
No, so that's weird. Well, staying with special teams, then what are you seeing with Justin Tucker? For the first time, I saw somebody bring up the holder the way that you and I talked about it the other week or last week. That there could be some issues there, but we've heard about the crow hop, and then now you got Harbaugh saying, we think we figured it out, and he'll be just fine. Are you seeing anything different with him?
I'm not an expert on such things. Watching film of kickers or how they're setting up or whatnot. I did see the thing you're talking about on Twitter where somebody was talking about the differences between how Stout holds
view.
The ball,
how you can see it,
But I would be concerned about that. I would be looking at everything, and if Sam Cook, had to be brought back in to be a holder, I think it's worth a roster spot pretty clearly. Yeah.
Here with Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, I want to go back to the half full, half empty comment. We've seen this over and over, different coordinators offensively and defensively, but the same remains with Harbaugh, with this team giving up late leads. He had a comment after the game, I believe it was yesterday maybe, about DBs or defenders playing soft in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. This team has given up more fourth quarter 10-point leads than anyone recently. So how are we putting it on players when players have changed, but you're still giving it up? And one of the biggest complaints we've had is playing soft with big leads.
Yeah, this is true of a lot of sports. The balance of strategies favor the trailing team. So teams that have a lot of big leads tend to be the teams that give up a lot of big leads. It shouldn't surprise anybody. Mm-hmm. And Harbaugh has said as much. And has been very well met with derision on this. It's actually a true comment. And by the way, the notion of playing soft or playing quote unquote prevent defense has been around as long as I've been a football fan.
Yeah, but his comments were almost leading towards the players are playing soft.
Okay, you're right. That's misallocated.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it at all because it's not, if the players are being aligned or positioned that far off the ball, it's not their fault. What did you think about the which seemed to work, the packages they put out there? Ricard playing a lot of snaps. This was my dream. It's like you have a 300-pound fullback and a 250-pound running back in the backfield, and then you go the other way.
Yeah.
You fool everyone because the whole defense was flowing toward Ricard and Henry, and then, you know, they throw the pass, you know, the other way to Kohler.
You know, what's interesting about this is they really did not lean on the Henry-Lamar mesh point very much, just a little bit to boot in this game. The play you mentioned is a really good one where, you know, it's zone block left, naked boot right. Mm-hmm. They rolled him out, and they didn't even look for a deeper option. They just took the immediate option as soon as that came open. That kind of misdirection is like the most it's just a surface use of that Lamar Henry mesh point, because what they're really not using, and they didn't target the tight ends at all basically in this game, is it using it for play action where those linebackers frozen close to the line of scrimmage because they've got to come downhill to get Henry in the hole, and then you've got great opportunities between level 2 and 3 to make plays there. They did go to a heavier lineup this time. They'd been very light the first two games. This time they were back up to 2.14 heavies per snap. So that's a lot. It's still not as heavy as they've been during the Roman era, but it's more in line with it, building your identity as a close it out run team.
I like the Roman era. It's like the Greek era.
I hated the Roman era. So let me ask you this, just piggybacking off what Ed talked about, the different personnel you could see out there, because I brought up, if you watch last night's game, the Buffalo Bills have the smallest interior front of everybody in the NFL. They run nickel almost 99% of the time, which means they're going to be smaller out there. Do you think the Ravens get to some more of these bigger lineups and with double tights and just run the hell out of the football at them? Because they've done a very good job at stopping the run, but they haven't seen anything like this yet.
Yeah, they'll try and lean on Buffalo in a similar way. Dallas had tremendous defensive line issues, and Micah Parsons is very quick and whatnot, but he's smaller, and the rest of their line was pretty bad. If Buffalo is truly as bad on the interior as small on the interior, they'll try and lean on that. Teams that have been small have found ways to combat the Ravens in the playoffs. In particular, the 2006 Colts are a team that knew how to do that. The Chiefs in the past understand how to crash with their linebackers and take chances with allowing their corners to take over the game. So it's not like they'll have no options, but I think that the bigger challenge for the Ravens is going to be how they deal with the Bills offensively.
Now, 13 penalties.
I'm still pissed about that.
Let's call that a bad one. Let's call the pass interference, I believe, a bad one. Pick another one as a bad one.
The roughing the passer.
Okay.
The roughing the passer was terrible.
Mm-hmm. They were all bad. Mm-hmm. So still we got to address 10 penalties.
Yeah. Got to address 10 penalties. And I thought John did a really good job of that. That press conference, there's a lot more that goes on out there. And I think it's there's a message that underlies it. A lot of passive aggression towards the league where he's really trying to get a response that makes sense because the one that he got didn't make any sense. I've read the rule. It's crystal clear that should have been a intentional grounding because it's not defined as the ball is caught or not. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with whether there's a legal receiver in the area where the ball is thrown. And so whatever explanation he got from Tolbert was not acceptable. But at the same time, he can't make the enemy the league and say the league is 100% of our penalty problem because it's not, just like you mentioned. And they need to go out and fix that. And I think that it's self-pity is the enemy of personal accountability on the team and from that perspective. So that's what he's trying to avoid with the other high road comments he made during that press conference.
Well, I hate to say that back to the throwing people under the bus before, but I don't quite understand the whole philosophy of the confusion, I think, that between what Rob said earlier about him. It sounds like he's blaming the players, but the coaches are the ones calling these, you know, the defenses. And if you see that they're, you know, they've basically fallen back into an umbrella where the safeties are 15 yards off the ball, cornerbacks are very soft, like, wouldn't you tighten that up the next, you know, snap of the ball?
I didn't have time to react to this comment. I just heard about it a few minutes on air to really think about what that really means. Obviously, he shouldn't put something like that on the players. It should be very clear that we've got to tighten up our coaching. We've got to tighten up our scheme to do that and not blame it on the players. But I haven't actually heard the comment.
Because I can forgive one touch. You stay in man, you keep putting pressure. Because he had 7 quarterback hits, he had 3 sacks. They were putting a tremendous amount of pressure on Dak. And I think it helped the secondary a lot. which is why they had no points essentially up till then.
Hey, let's fix it. He said he hadn't heard it, so let him hear it.
The coverage is just getting a little loose in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. So just understand, sometimes a call is going to go against you. It may be right, it may not be right, but you can't let that change the way you play. You still got to play the coverage the way it's played. If it's an inside leverage, you play inside leverage. You know, if it's supposed to be down on a route, you're supposed to be down on a route, get down on it. So don't be playing like not to give up the big play all the time. You just play the defense the way it's been played. And we've got really good players back there, and I'd like to see them play that way.
That's what he said. And so, I don't quite understand that, because his coaches that supervise the players, who are you blaming for this? If it's off? And it wasn't one touchdown. You're talking about three of them.
Yeah. Let me just say, if he was criticizing the offensive line for various things, I'd still say there's a component of personal responsibility each lineman needs to take for their own blocks, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And there is in this too. I'm not going to defend Harbaugh entirely. I'm just saying I've heard worse than I think what I just heard was in terms of coaches calling out players.
Yeah.
So, Ken, let me take you back to the offensive line and this offense as a whole, because this did appear to be, from a fan's perspective, the first time the offensive line looked really good. What did you see diving into the film?
Yeah, better offensive line game and one that I think is a run game, so it's generally going to be pretty much easier to make your blocks, but there were a lot of misses in this game. Stanley missed 11 blocks in this game. He only allowed one pressure, which is good, but he got a B for the game. Voorhees, I'll go through the grades here real quickly, got a D. I don't think his performance was that good. I know he's been praised on other places. Part of it is they're looking at his pass blocking snaps, and he didn't have any significant pass blocking errors, half a pressure, but he did have 8 missed blocks and got a D in this game, as I saw it, the illegal hold and the offensive holding. That is a lot to overcome in a single game. Those penalties are very significant. Linderbaum had an A in the game, only a half a quarterback hit to the stunting Parsons, one other pressure. Fa'alele, big step forward. Big game for Fa'alele for a couple reasons. First of all, he made 11 blocks in level 2. That's an incredible number for any guard. Fa'alele, his big problem has been blocking in space, getting out there and making contact with people. And that's just such a departure for a guy who's had 3 blocks in level 2 the entire rest of the season before this. So it looked like a different player out there. C in the game, so that was largely good. It wasn't like he was without mistakes, because he had a holding call as well. McCary, a B+, by the way, huge step forward for him. He'd had a D and an F in the first 2 games, so that's a very big positive. We didn't see Rosengarten at all. Little people, including me, are surprised by that we didn't see him. And then Cleveland had 1 block as a 6th offensive lineman, but again, no play from him. We thought maybe rotational play at some point.
Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, many people walked away from this game saying the Ravens finally found their offensive identity. However, Derrick Henry's not going to have 25 carries a game. The Ravens aren't going to be 3-1 run the pass per game. So I don't think they found their identity. I think they just executed a game plan. I don't think that's their identity.
Okay, I'd say it's a possible identity. It's a way you can win games, and that's nice. And you can't have any one. And I think you're saying that exactly. You know, if the Ravens are dominant as they were in 2019, as they were in 2023, they have a lot of games where this is a substantial part of the game plan, where they're closing out a game with Derrick Henry, where they're closing out a game with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. But if obviously there are going to be other games and probably a lot more than there were in either of those two seasons, because I think this Ravens team is not quite as good, where they're going to have to play from behind, and that requires their other weapons to be around.
You're talking about 45 attempts on the ground, 15 pass attempts. I don't see many NFL teams being able to go on 3-1 run the pass. Right. I don't see that happening in the National Football League.
I think part of it is that big lead they got out to, too.
Right.
Kind of dictated what they were doing.
Yes. Right. Yeah. You know who I'd like to talk about? It's my favorite 5'7", 5'8" defensive back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or Darius Washington. I liked it. My son brought him to my attention years ago when he got drafted. He was going to watch this guy. He followed him in college. What did you think of his performance?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think that basically Arthur Maulet may be getting the Wally Pipp treatment. Back. So he's, you know, when he comes back, I don't see him getting on the field over Washington. Washington provides so much value right now to this team in terms of his versatility, where he can play, and what that allows him to do with Hamilton. So the big move from this last game was Ardarius kept holding up well. He did give up the last touchdown in the back end. So it's just a very hard to defend back shoulder throw. But it was a great game for him. And he allowed the Ravens to move to a bunch of dime, because he was able to go and take over that nickel spot instead of Hamilton, and instead of Humphrey, frankly, who had to go back to the outside because Wiggins didn't play well.
Right.
And then they were able to play 34 out of 70 snaps with six or seven defensive backs on the field. That's the enormous takeaway from this game for Orr, because Orr, being a weak side linebacker in his career, coming from a committed nickel system, changed to put six defensive backs on the field in this game. Absolutely love it, and a renewed confidence in Orr as a defensive coordinator just from that.
Ken, as we start to look forward to Buffalo coming in, you mentioned that some of the issues might be what they're doing on offense. I think Brady's done a phenomenal job, Joe Brady, that is, with the Bills' offense. What did you see from the defense, and what do you expect from them, moving forward against a team that has all these gadget plays?
Yeah, it will be much more dime, I think. I think that Trenton Simpson will have a focused early down role, which he did in this game. By the way, he played very well. And then Hamilton will be a guy who they use on most obvious passing downs, or if the Ravens get a lead and the Bills are having to pass to catch up. So I think we'll see additional defensive backs on the field to combat some of the options they have.
Real quick, do you have any idea why we didn't see Mark Andrews a lot this game?
Well, because they're running a lot of heavy packages, they didn't need Andrews as much. But there's tremendous competition for the snaps among the four guys: Ricard, Kolar, who had a great game, Likely, and Andrews. And if you watched out that game, Likely has thrown some great blocks the last 2 weeks. They just look terrific. So, they got other players that are competing for snaps.
410-583-1057 is the number. Thank you very much, Ken McCusick. We'll talk to you next week.